My name's Ray. I'm an alcoholic. And wow, there's a lot of people here. Yeah, I've been coming to this meeting for a couple months now, and I was kind of dreading this date. I knew I had to share on the 23rd. My sobriety date is January 10th, 2006, and I have a home group. It's called BYOB. Saturdays at 1 o'clock. Yeah, so just real. I'm not a native San Diegan. I'm from a small town called Petaluma. It's about 40 miles north of San Francisco. I was born and raised there. I came to San Diego in like 2002 on a geographical escape. I remember my sister telling me, you know, live your life any way you want, just leave mom and dad out of it. Because at that point, I was taking things from my parents. I was pawning stuff and that kind of stuff. But anyways, for me, my alcoholism, I believe I was predisposed from a young age to be alcoholic. Just because of the way of my thought. When I did my first step and fourth step, my sponsor had me do a lot of writing. And I did a lot of writing on how I felt growing up. Growing up Mexican American in a predominantly predominantly white people over in Northern California, I always like felt less than, and I remember in parochial school, I went to my parents sent me to parochial school, and I remember always trying to like gravitate towards the cool kids, you know, the guys that I thought were cool. I remember. I was hoping like some of their coolness would rub off on me or something, but it never did. I was always shy. I was overweight. My skin never fit very well. That's the best way I could describe it. You know, my skin never fit very well. And when I got to high school, I think I was ripe for addiction. I was ripe for alcoholism. You know, I went to my first kegger, or someone passed a beer my way, and it was on. I mean, it talks about it in the book. There's a story. I think it's called He Lived Only to Drink. It's right at the beginning, and it says that he says that he was finally at home in the universe. He finally felt a part of. And I've heard that over the years. I've heard that a lot. I mean, I relate to that. That when I drank, I was finally comfortable, you know. I got in trouble right off the bat. Drinking. I got my first DUI when I was 16, and I don't want to go into too many war stories, but I joined the military when I was 21, and that was in 1991. It was right when Desert Shield was starting out, and I remember got in trouble in there too. I mean, right off the bat, my first pass, we went over. I was stationed in Fort Bliss, Texas. And we went over to Juarez, and I didn't come back that night. I mean, I blacked out, and they found me I was all bloody, and I was in some kind of holding thing where they put tanks and stuff, and so I got in a lot of trouble for that. What else? One of the things that led me to my first AA meeting. Was something that happened when I was in the military. I was at my permanent duty station in Fort Riley, Kansas, and I had blacked out. We were drinking in the barracks, and I don't remember this, but they said that I went into a Burger King. I went in the back, and they said I broke in, but I remember the door being open in the back, and they said that I was, I started making myself a burger. I don't know. I got in a lot of trouble for that. I remember spending a night in the stockade that night. And, I remember in the morning when they released me and, I made formation. It seemed like the whole base knew. It seemed like the whole division knew, you know, that this crazy guy had, you know, went into Burger King and they were calling me the Hamburglar and, yeah, it was just crazy, but So my captain, you know, I was pretty much an embarrassment to my platoon, and so I had to go in front of the commander, and he looked at the report, and he's like, you know, Private Lopez, he said, do you have a drinking problem? And I said, I think I got honest with him, or I did get honest, and I says, yeah, I think I do. And this was in 19, he goes, okay, we're going to get you help. And so my point is that I went to my first AA meeting in a small town called Junction City, Kansas. It's connected to Fort Riley. And I went to my first meeting, and I remember walking into that meeting, and there was a bunch of old people. You know, I was 22, old like me now. They're my age now. and there was this guy, the secretary, and he had a big banner behind the secretary's desk, and it said, Alcoholism, the Disease of Loneliness. And I was like, what does that mean, you know? I was like, okay, I party a little too much, but, you know, the disease, I didn't make a connection, you know? The disease of loneliness. And, 16 years later, I was 22, and I got sober when I was 36. 16 years later, I knew exactly what that sign meant. I knew exactly what the disease of loneliness was. They're exactly right. I had pushed away everything and everybody that I cared about and cared about me. I had spent time in those 16 years. I had spent time in rehabs. I had switched onto drugs, trying to control. I had like gotten my third DUI when I was 24, so I had tried doing drugs. I found out later that a guy told me that. When you're in AA, or when you're an alcoholic and you switch to doing drugs, they call that switching seats on the Titanic. So that was pretty cool. I like that. I that didn't work. You know, drugs just, I'm not going to talk about drugs, but it took me, they knocked me out. You know, if alcohol had me on my knees, you know, drugs knocked me out. And I finally got sober when I was 36, and it took me being homeless. It took me to a place where I never want to go back. And I said that first step prayer that night, January 9th is when I said the prayer, and it's a prayer I hear it all the time in these rooms, and it says, God help me, you know, I don't want to live like this anymore, and He did. And He did, and I've been doing the deal ever since, man. Just like Lori was saying, you know, you do the steps, and I just, you know, Unity Service and Recovery, you know, it's the meetings, it's the fellowship, helping others, and I've been able to keep my seat around here. I've gotten a new education here. I mean, I go to my home group, and there's this old timer named Gene, and I love what he shares. He says that the spiritual principles that we learn around here, like kindness, tolerance, being patient, you know, all that doesn't come natural to him. And he says he has to work at it. But he says when he does the unnatural thing, he gets the unnatural result, which is he doesn't feel like drinking and doing drugs. And I was like, wow, that really resonated with me when he said that, because that's true. I mean, being loving, kind, and practicing, it doesn't come natural to me. And so, but when I do it, It's like that's the magic about this stuff. It's when I do it, it works, and I get another reprieve from wanting to drink. So what else? You know, I was at a speaker meeting I went to the Yupa Street speakers meeting on Tuesday, and the lady that shared said something that was really profound. I really liked it, and she said that she doesn't like it when an old timer tells a newcomer that it's going to get better. You know, they say, oh, it'll get better, you know. And she says she doesn't like it because it may not get better, but she says you will get better. And that resonated with me because that's true. You know, like I still have a lot of things that are happening in my life that I don't like. You know what I mean? I still haven't paid the IRS all the money I owe them. And, you know, I still get laid off from work, you know, but I can handle it today. It's not that big a deal. You know, my sponsor talks about I can survive my emotions. You know, that's the big deal. So, I love this life. I really do. because I finally, you know, for the longest, I was, like I talked about it earlier, I was uncomfortable in my own skin. And today, I have comfort. I can actually look at myself in the mirror and like the guy that I see back. Most of the time. Okay, thanks guys. Thanks.